Amen. Well, good morning and welcome to Robertsville Baptist today. And it's a privilege to be back with you again and look forward to this time that we could be together. I appreciate the invitation and certainly look forward to what God is going to do and continue to do through our midst today. I ask you to open the Word of God to the Old Testament. We're going to be reading from Psalm 126. And today, the challenge from this scripture is to dream again. To dream again. Psalm 126, and if you're able, I would invite you to stand in honor of God's precious word. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Father, we pray your blessings upon your word today. May it accomplish what you desire for it to accomplish in this sacred and holy place today. Father, may we hear what the Spirit is saying into our lives, and may we individually and may we corporately as a church family today respond to what your call from your word brings to us this morning. And we ask and we pray these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Dream again. God isn't finished with his people. And God isn't finished with his church. And God isn't finished with you. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has a people. And we must trust God. We must hold on to the Lord. We've already sang this morning that in Christ all things are possible. Through him, we are able to dream again. Do you remember when we used to dream? When we used to have a sense of excitement, anticipation, even expectation about what God was going to do within his church and among his people? There was a freshness that we brought into the house of the Lord every week. There was just an anointing that God's presence was so pervasive in the midst of who we are. There was a touch of the work of the Lord, the fire of the Holy Spirit. There was such excitement because when we came, we knew that God would meet us here in this place and that God would do great and mighty things. Do you remember when we used to dream? Do you remember when we ceased dreaming? Became disappointed, defeated. We were deflated, discouraged. Sometimes we feel devalued and we have distractions and we're devastated by things around us. And so when we read this passage today, we have this clear clarion call to dream again. Because in this day where we stand right now in 2020, in the year that we are in a new day, in a new season filled with new opportunities in the year 2025. But yet many people are looking back and they're longing for what once was. But God is calling us to look ahead and to dream about what will be. You see, dreamers see before others see. Dreamers know even before others know. And dreamers go even before others go because they trust in what God and God alone can do. And they pray, "Lord, help us to see, help us to know, help us to do, help us to be obedient. Lord, I lay down the entirety of my life unto you, O Lord. May you work through me. May you work through us to do great and mighty things." Churches lose their dream. There are many situations that I could illustrate to you today through the years of ministry, but I'll just share some personal one in my own life, in my own experience. I was contacted by a church in Atlanta, Georgia area to become their pastor. It was the First Baptist Church of Buford, Georgia. Now, if any of you watch sports or anything, you recently saw that there's a $62 million high school football stadium built in Buford, Georgia. They played there the other night. I mean, it is a town that is very tight. It's a town that is very political. It's a town that is very, very, you know, you're either, if you're not born there, it takes you 30 years to kind of even be part of it. You know, one of those kind of places. And this is where God opened up a door for me to go and to minister. I was finishing up my seminary. And God was saying, now it's time for you to go and to be in this place. And to further illustrate the some of the tension that was there, the pastor of the church had an affair with the church secretary, and he left town with her. The associate pastor seized this moment to split the church and to divide the church. And so they went out and started a new church with about three-fourths of the congregation. And so there were about 30 or 40 people there at First Baptist Church of Buford. And when I went there and I talked with the committee and I began praying about it, believe me, I asked the question, Lord, why would you lead me to such a place? I mean, of all the situations out there, I mean, there are churches everywhere. And Lord, you're leading me to this tight-knit community that if you're not part of it, they don't even want to listen to you. A church that is so fractured, so defeated, so frustrated, so divided. A town now that is split even spiritually. And Lord, you want me to go there? And with a very loud yes, he said, yes. And so that's where I ended up. So I went there with that 30 or 40 people that I called the remnant, because that's really what they were. They were the ones that were left. And God began working, and God began moving, and God began seeing things that only God allowed us to see things that only He could do. And miracles were taking place, and people were being saved, and healing was taking place within the lives of families and the lives of communities. And if you fast forward from that day when I first went there with 30 or 40 people, 10 years later, we were having well over 1,000 people every Sunday in worship. And this church had to dream again. We had to believe that God could still do a mighty work among us. But we couldn't just say, Lord, do it and use them. We had to say, Lord, use me in whatever way I can be used. Lord, take my life. I may not be what I once was. I may not be what I think I am. But Lord, whatever it is, I am yours. And Lord, use my life in order that we can see your kingdom make an impact here within our city. Dream again. You see, we're not a defeated people, but there is a defeated foe. And our victory is in Jesus Christ the Lord. And in Christ Jesus the Lord, who was crucified, died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried. But the victory that we have is that on the third day, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And if Christ can rise from the grave, he can resurrect a church to his glory and to his honor. So let's look through Psalm 126 today, because there are incredible insights that parallel the churches that we're a part of even today that challenge us and call us to dream again. We must dream again because we often have shattered dreams. We all have shattered dreams. When I was growing up, I love sports. I played basketball, baseball, I played everything. And I was fairly decent in basketball. And I thought, man, this is going to be my future. I mean, I would watch TV, I'd watch college games, I'd watch pro games. I think, man, one day that's me. I'm there. I'm going to be a pro basketball player. Well, when you're 6 foot tall, you're not going to make it. I'm just telling you, unless you are really, really good. And I wasn't that good. So that dream was shattered. And yet I couldn't allow that to define my life, that I couldn't do anything else. We all go through shattered dreams. Now, the context of Scripture is all around shattered dreams, because the people of God had been taken into captivity. They were in exile. And for 70 years, individuals have been taken from Jerusalem into Babylon. They've been taken away from their home. They've been taken from their businesses. They've been taken, and they didn't want to go. They didn't want to be where they were, but yet here they are in captivity. And so for 70 years, they had lived in brokenness and hurtfulness. They had been taken away, taken from, and they'd been taken to a place that they didn't want to be. They knew pain. They knew pressure. They knew problems. They knew politics. They knew everything that could be a part of this kind of situation, and they had shattered dreams, because everything around them had fallen apart and was not where they thought it ought to be. But it has been said that God's when becomes our then. God's when becomes our then. Just read verse 1 and 2. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then in verse 2, then. God's when becomes our then. When God moves, then. When God heals, then. When God reveals, then. When God leads, then. When God provides, then. When God blesses, then. You see, we can use every situation, every circumstance, every wrong that we have experienced in life as a reason for bitterness and anger and blame for what we're missing out on, an excuse for limitations. We can have a litany of shattered dreams. I thought I would be here by now. I thought I would have this by now. I thought I'd be doing this by now. I thought I'd be leading this by now. I thought I'd be appointed to this by now. I thought my marriage would be here by now, my family, my career, my finances. At this season of my life, I thought things would be here, but they're not. And we focus more on what is not in our life rather than what is in our life. We focus more on why we cannot rather than what we can, why we can. You live in the realm of what could have been rather than the blessing of what is in your life at this very moment. You can't move past shattered dreams and trust God for the present and for the future. And so in verse 1, he says, the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. We read in Scripture where the Babylon people were defeated by the Persians, and the Persians allowed them to return back home. And so now God is bringing back their captivity. The shattered dreams had so defined who they were, but God's when became their then. We're like those who dream. We're dreaming again. We see the hand of God. We see the blessing of God. God has not forgotten us. God has not forsaken us. God has not forfeited us. God has not turned away from us. God has not said you're no longer of value. No, God still had a plan and a purpose. And so in the midst of their shattered dreams, they were reminded, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't walk away. For weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He can turn our ashes into His beauty. God's when becomes your then. Shattered dreams. That's found within this scripture. Then we see shuttered dreams. I lived in Florida for 30 years, and there's always a hurricane, seems like, coming. Seems like they're coming even more rapidly now. And when the hurricanes would come, everybody would shutter their windows. That's what you do down there. They put up plywood over the windows, or they have a system where they can cover them up like a piece of plywood is going to keep a hurricane from coming through your house. I mean, it never really made sense, but nevertheless, we'd put them up there because I guess it made us feel a little bit more secure. We would shudder. And oftentimes when the storms of life are coming at people, they begin to shudder their life. They begin to shut down. I've been hurt. I've been burned. I've been let down. So I'm not going to let that happen again. So when I know that those things are coming, I'm going to shutter my life. I'm going to block those things out. I'm going to isolate myself. I'm going to get away from those things. It's not worth the fight. It's not worth the battle. It's not worth hanging in there for. I'd rather just shudder it to not feel that same kind of pressure on my life again. But the reality is the challenges are always present. And pressures are always coming. Storm clouds are always gathering. And we can withdraw and we can shudder the dream. But what this is simply spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is real. And the moment we begin to shudder our dream before the Lord, the moment we begin to shudder our faith in God, the moment we begin to shudder what God desires to do, we have allowed the evil one to defeat God's purpose and plan within each of our lives. The scripture reminds us that our mighty God has released us. And the joy of today is greater than the sorrow of yesterday. And the joy of today is greater than the unknown of tomorrow. And the psalmist is speaking about a difficult place in which the people of Israel were found. But remember, he told them, even when they were in captivity, to seek the peace of the city where they were found. Because God knows where you are, and God will use you even there. So now, when they're bringing back from captivity, coming back to Jerusalem, they're dreaming again. Notice what it says in verse 2. Our mouth was filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. And then they said among the nations, I mean, what joy, how they went from desperation to joy, how they went from defeat to understanding God's hand upon their life, how they went from utter despair to now crying out and giving praise and glory unto the Lord. God's when becomes our then. The people around them looked upon them. They knew the situation they had been in, and they said, oh, the Lord has done great things for them. But notice what they say. We're not going to let Utah give the testimony. We're going to give the testimony. In verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. It was the last time the church just stood up and said, the Lord has done great things for us. When have we just given praise and adulation and all honor and glory to the Lord and what he is doing in and among his people? But so often we shudder those dreams and we miss what God desires to do through his people and through his church. We have to realize that I can't be everything. I can't do everything. I can't please everyone. I can't live my life by comparison. I can't serve the Lord by competition. I can't depend on compliments. I'm only going to do it if people pat me on the back. I can't focus on social media, because the same group, the same person patting you on the back today can be the group or person who's stabbing you in the back tomorrow. But I can be who God has created and gifted me to be for his glory. Let me say that again. You can be who God has created and gifted you and me to be for his glory. And so I love what we read there in verse 2, because I choose to experience and I choose to declare the glory of the Lord. When we come together, our mouth is filled with laughter, not frivolous, but laughter, because of the joy that we have in Christ. My tongue is filled with song. I want to uplift the high and holy name of the Lord Christ himself. My testimony declares his greatness. My life is filled with gladness. And churches must choose if we're going to shudder our dreams, or if we're going to open our lives and open our windows and open our doors and open our hearts and open our hands to the community around us and say, we are going to serve Christ Jesus, and may his kingdom be expanded through his people who desire to see men, women, boys, and girls come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to disciple those who grow in the Lord. For churches are either a placeholder church or you're a stakeholder church. Placeholder, we got property, we got building, we got a sign, we open our doors, we're alive in name only. Come in. Stakeholder, we're investing. We're investing who we are in the place where God has planted us. This vineyard of ministry is a stewardship of who we are. We must be seeking to reach into our schools. We must be seeking to reach into our community. We must be seeking to reach into the lives of families. We must be seeking to reach into the lives of children and young people and adults, and helping them to see the hope and the help that comes only through Jesus Christ the Lord. There's a huge difference between placeholder churches and stakeholder churches. You see, placeholders are inwardly focused, but stakeholders are outwardly focused. Placeholders are consumed with the budget and the building, but stakeholders are consumed with mission and ministry. Placeholders are escaping the culture, but stakeholders are engaging the culture. Placeholders are giving up and giving out, but stakeholders are giving more and giving all. Placeholders are just stuck, but stakeholders are unstuck. Placeholders defend the status quo, but stakeholders declare, let's go, because God isn't finished with his church and God isn't finished with his people. The scripture calls us to be stakeholders for the Lord. Be a stakeholder church. Don't shudder your dream again. We move to the last part of the scripture. Not only do we find that we have shattered dreams and shuttered dreams, but we also have shallowed dreams. We navigate to a safe place. We find a secure place. We find a hiding place, a sheltering place, we feel like. If we can just get here, we'll be okay. We can manage it. We have enough money to do it. We can keep just holding on. And so we shallow the church. What is important to the church is the safety and the security. While all those things are important, the scripture calls us to risk all and to give all unto the Lord. Shallow dreams are places of little depth and little faith and little sacrifice and little demand, little commitment, little resistance, content, meandering in shallow water. That's a pretty easy place to be. But God is calling us into the deep. You give God a piece of your life, and he is worthy of all of your life. For you see, this passage is in the midst of a call to return to Jerusalem. Jerusalem that is lying in waste. Jerusalem that has been seized and seized. Jerusalem where the walls have been torn down and the temple has been absolutely destroyed. That's what they're going back to. That's what God is calling them to return to and to restore the glory of Jerusalem, the glory of the city of Zion, the city of God. And here are people that have been in captivity. Here are people who have been angry and people have been bitter and people who have said there's nothing we can do and there's no hope and there's no help. And God is now saying, go home. I have a great work for you to do. And they can't shallow their dreams anymore. As a matter of fact, if you look at Psalm 137, verse 1, he says, we sat by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. They knew what was in Jerusalem. They knew it would not be easy. They knew that what they once had was no longer there. They knew that the glory of this city had totally been destroyed. And now, after being in captivity, in judgment for 70 years, God is releasing them back. He's bringing back the captivity, as it says here within this verse. And he has a work for them to do, a work that demands everything of who they are. Return to Jerusalem, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple. That's a big request, but they remembered that we have even a bigger God. And God has a big ask for this generation, and we must trust in God who is bigger, bigger than what we see around us. This past Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching at the First Baptist Church of Palatka, Florida. Most of you probably never heard of Palatka, Florida. You got to get there. You don't go there. You got to find it out there. But it's a church where a young man who served on staff with me for about 10 or 15 years is now the pastor. It's a church that was a First Baptist church that had made some very poor decisions over the years. They had an unbelievable debt of $13,000 a month that they were paying on a building that they had bought that they had never used years ago. They were a church that it just was going through pastors like this. I mean, I think they just put the name of the pastor out on the front of the church in chalk rather than in real letters. They could just erase it and put the next guy up in about a year or two. It was just one after another after another. It was just a mess. That's all I can tell you. So this church had called me and wanted me to come meet with their search committee, which I did. And we talked about a lot of things, about their church, about their ministry, about what they needed in the community and things of that nature. And then ultimately they asked me, they said, "Do you have somebody you can recommend?" I said, "Well, yes, I do." And I gave them the name of Ron, the young man that had been on staff with me. Now you think, I thought he was your friend. Why would you recommend him to a place like that? Because I knew that Ron Smith was a dreamer. And that Ron could go into a place and God could use him to do great and wonderful things. So this was the 5-year anniversary for Ron Smith, a church that was in absolute chaos when he got there. They may have had 75, 80 people, this sort of thing, there at the church. And on this past Sunday morning, this 5-year anniversary, they had 500 people there in the worship service, unified. Joy, laughter, excitement, ministry taking place all across that city through the ministry of this church because they had a pastor who was willing to dream. What is God asking of you? What is God asking of you that demands total faith? For you see, you cannot shallow your faith and fulfill what God is calling you to do. You have to reach a point where all you can do is hold on to God because it's only through him and for him that we live and breathe. Someone has said that you cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shore. That's a pretty profound statement. And so within the scripture, we see the Lord moving among them. But even in that, he said there's going to be hardships, there's going to be struggles, but you got to get away from that shallow place. You got to go to the deep. Deep calls unto deep, the scriptures say. For in verses 5 and 6, we read, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, who has a burden on their heart, a heaviness on their heart that is beyond just a building, but it's beyond, it is a ministry to me to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You see, we got to dream about that again, don't we, church? There will be struggles. It will never be easy. We got to press on. There will be pain. We got to press on. There will be hardship. We got to press on. There will be disappointments. We got to press on. We got to dream on and dream again. We cannot grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And now is not the time for the church to have shattered dreams and shuttered dreams and shallow dreams. This is a time to dream again. To dream again about reaching this city for Christ. To have a burden for Knoxville, Tennessee. For this community around you. Oh, it's going to have weeping. It's going to have tears. But if we weep and sow in tears, we will reap. That's what the scripture promises us. Dream again about filling this baptistry where there are young men, women, and boys and girls and adults who have professed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are publicly proclaiming to the world the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and their testimony of salvation. Dream again about discipling believers. Dream again about being on mission for Christ. Dream again about changing the world for the Lord Jesus Christ out of this place. Because if we do not believe that we can touch the world with the gospel from where we sit today, we'll not even touch the community around us. Dream again. Because today, some of you in your brokenness, in your sinfulness and in your pain, you need to hear that there is a Savior who loves you and who gave his life for you, who is calling you unto his salvation, unto his healing. Dream again. Dream again. Because in the Lord, all things are possible. Dream again. This morning, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time of response. We're going to sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus," here in a few moments. And we're going to make our altar or these seats across the front open. And if you're willing just to come forward and say, "I want to dream again. I believe God still has a plan for Robertsville Baptist Church. He's not through with us." Oh, we can look around and we can say, "Oh, how's this going to work?" You know, we can't figure this out, but God can, and God will. And maybe you just want to come and pray. "Lord, as a church, we want to dream. Lord, as an individual, I want to dream again. Lord, help me to be a part of whatever you desire to do, that your name and your fame and your glory can be seen across this city, even through my life. I want to dream again. How you can use me, Lord. I'm willing to launch out into the deep and go where faith and faith alone can take us." So maybe you just want to come make that your commitment of prayer today as a church, and I would invite you to. This morning, there may be some here who have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to tell you, there isn't a greater day or a greater moment than right now to say yes to Him. He loves you. He first loved you. And He's calling you right now in your heart into salvation, and you know that you need to be saved. And you've lived in that brokenness. You've lived in that sin. You've lived in that pain. You've lived in that shame. You've lived in that season of defeat. And today the Lord is saying, "Come, repent of your sins, confess me, and I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. I will change you. I will make you my child for all eternity." And your life can be miraculously changed today through the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the Lord. And I would encourage you to come during this invitation. I'll be here at the altar, and we'll talk about that decision, what it means to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the challenge of your word. And Lord, I know that you desire for your people to be people of faith, people who will dream, people who will dream again. And so, Lord, I pray that today that we who are part of this church family will come. If we can make it this altar, as a front seat just to sit down as a sign of just we're in this together, that Lord, they'll do that. If not, wherever they are, Lord, make that prayer. Lord, I pray that this will be a moment, Lord, that we will say, we know you're not through with your church. And Lord, as long as we as your people are willing to make commitments to be found faithful and to do what we can do, Lord, as you would lead us. Father, for the pastor that you have out there, that you will raise up in the days, Lord, to come and stand at this pulpit and preach your word, we pray, Lord, that you will prepare him, his family, and Lord, that when they come, that it will be just a time of revival and renewal and restoration, Lord, that will be seen in such a way, Lord, that we can only give you praise, only give you thanks and glory. So, Father, may we now make the commitments of our life that you call us to make. May your when become our then, even today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing,